Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are joined on the WaveFord.com hotline by Falcons, former Falcons quarterback, of course, Dave Archer, color guy for the broadcast, and all-around grand poobah of football.
Morning, guys. It was a fun game. If you like offensive football, I'm sure that Hugh enjoyed the win. I'm not sure he enjoyed some of the defensive football, but I'm sure he enjoyed the. I'm sure you enjoyed the offensive football. Right?
Dave, you talk about some heart palpitations throughout the whole night. But tell me this, Dave. Why was Nick Foles able to have that kind of success against the New England Patriots? What did you see from him?
Yeah, the key play or the key sequence of plays were going to be how did New England try to defend Philly's RPO, the run-pass option stuff. That was something that Nick had a ton of success with in the postseason, especially in their game, their last game against Minnesota. So that was fresh on film. So how are you going to defend that? They had to take away the run game, which they didn't do, and then they had to try to take away those throws after Foles pulls it to throw behind. So their idea was we were going to try to keep the linebackers up tight, try to take away the run game. They did a poor job of that. And then when Foles did pull it out, they tried to hug coverage. They came up and tried to play bump and run coverage, and that didn't deter Doug Peterson from calling it. They took shots down the field. As opposed to like they were doing against Atlanta and against the Vikings, they were throwing slants, the quick throws to the inside, picking up incremental pieces of 8, 10, 12, 8, 6, 8, 10 yards. This time they were taking shots down the field. Jeffrey got in behind defense. So did Aguilar. I think Philip Dorsett even got behind. So they were getting chunk plays down the field. But I think ultimately it was just that Peterson got Foles going early. Threw the ball on first down, the first play of the game. Got him comfortable, and he saw what New England was doing. This is not a great New England defense. We saw that. And they took advantage of every piece of it. I thought there was some pretty cool imagination type things that Peterson came up with in the 2 weeks preparing for Philadelphia to create some matchup issues with some of their receivers when they spread them out. So I think all around it was a good, obviously great play by the quarterback, but I think a nice job of putting a really good game plan together.
Dave Archer joining us on the WaveFord.com hotline this morning with John and Hugh. Yeah, there was, I would imagine, heart palpitations for a half a millisecond in Philadelphia on the very final play because Danny Amendola is diving for that tip ball. And you can almost see everything flash before your eyes. Oh, he's going to catch it. They're going to get two. It's going to go to overtime, blah, 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 blah. Brady's going to be the greatest of all time. And this time, they came up just that hair short. Now, having
well, Brady's still the greatest of all time. Yeah. That is a chance.
No, I know that.
They ain't going to change in one game.
it was finally time for someone to beat that crowd, and Philly beat them. That wasn't something that New England gave away. Philadelphia went out and beat them on the field.
Right, exactly. Zach Ertz and Corey Clement, the calls, the controversial calls. I mean, you know, I think that Clement probably should have been overturned, but Zach Ertz was a touchdown. How did you see it?
Yeah, I don't know what the discussion is. Let's talk about the game-winning play to Ertz. I don't know what the discussion is about that. He catches the football. He's not even going to go to the ground on the play if the DB hadn't dove into his leg. So he catches the ball, takes three steps, and he's going to roll in the end zone. He sees the DB coming his leg, so he dives as a runner for a touchdown. That was as easy a call for Gene Steratore last night. I mean, they confirmed it. They said he established himself as a runner. That's confirmed. That's a touchdown. I'm not sure why that's even under discussion. Now, the Clement play is interesting because the ball does seem to move some. It slid back in his arm. So there might be a discussion there. But the Ertz play is clean. That's a very easy call. Very, very much was a touchdown. And I don't think there's any controversy around that at all.
Dave Archer joining John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we discuss Super Bowl 52 between the Patriots and the Eagles in that incredible game. Dave, one of the things I asked you earlier, and I ask all the audience, if I had told you before the game, New England, stats are what you make of them, but if I had said that New England, 613 yards, Tom Brady throws for 505, three touchdowns, no picks, they have one turnover, one penalty, and no punts in the game, I think you would have looked at me and said, oh, my God, it's going to be 56-10.
Well, I think you certainly would have leaned towards New England. I think the guy sitting next to you, Hugh Douglas, would have cringed if you'd said that about his Philly defense and that they would give up that many yards and that many points. I think that the thing that got overlooked is this is not a great New England defense. Now, they'd been pretty good in the red zone, but throughout the season, this was a defense that had gotten pushed around all year long. Mm-hmm. Came in ranked, 29th or 30th in the league in yards given up. They were pretty good in the red zone, and they showed their hand again last night. They weren't bad in the red zone defensively. But their leading tacklers, I think their top three leading tacklers are all DBs, which is never a great sign when you start looking at a defense and who's controlling the game. So I think we kind of had an idea that if Philly could get going, they could put some points on the board, and was New England going to be able to move the ball? And I think the big surprise was, as you said, the numbers they were able to put up against that Philadelphia defense. But give Doug Peterson's offense credit. They never blinked. They stayed aggressive. And the conversion downs, they were 12 of 18. You throw the two fourth down conversions in, they were 12 of 18 on third down. They stayed on the field, ate the ball up, 34 minutes of time of possession, and they answered every time they needed to put points on the board.
You know what, Dave? That was the key to me, was the fact that they never took their foot off the gas pedal. But outside, that was huge. But outside of that, how do you, if you're the New England Patriots, play a game where you only have one penalty, throwing the ball as much as they threw it and for as many yards as they thrown it? How do you play a game that clean?
Well, that's the baffling. That was the only penalty cue they had in the whole
game.
Season.
That's in two, like, what was that? They had one against
Jacksonville.
Three
games.
Yeah, that's like, come on, man.
I agree with you. That's ridiculous. I'm just glad that was not something that came back to bite Philly, because that was something that we talked about going into last year's game. That was an offense that had 31 or 32 holding calls going into the Falcon game. It got called for one, and it was a tight end out on a screen play. I mean, how does that happen? That can't happen, you know? So, but give Philly, give both teams credit. It looked like the Pro Bowl to me. I mean, the defenses weren't great. There was a lot of missed tackles, a lot of blown coverages, but a lot of great offense. And certainly Philly did their job. They made enough plays to win the game. I think Gronk was interviewed after the game. He said, hey, we played as good as we could play on offense. He says Philly just made more plays than we did.
Dave Archer joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline this morning as we talk about Super Bowl 52. Another one of the angles here is Nick Foles is going to have a statue to him in Philadelphia. He is forever a Philadelphia folk hero. But now, is he even going to be the quarterback next year? What are they going to do?
Well, I don't think that there's anything to do. I think that obviously Wentz is their quarterback, and Foles, you got an unbelievably good backup, and Foles is probably putting himself in position. Should Philly want to give him an opportunity to go be a starter someplace else? Think of all the different places that are looking for a quarterback: Denver, Arizona, Cleveland. There's a bunch of guys looking for QBs. Would Philly be willing to package him and send him off? I think you could get a pretty high draft pick for Nick Foles right now. But now Carson Wentz is their quarterback. There's no question about that. But a very strange situation that you win a Super Bowl and are the hero of the Super Bowl, and you come back. Even when you go back and look at the Giants, when the Giants won the Super Bowl and Jeff Hostetler took over for them, Hostetler kind of turned around and handed the ball off to O.J. Anderson. He made a couple throws in that game. I think O.J. Anderson was the MVP of that game. This guy is the MVP of the game, threw just under 400 yards. It's a very strange situation for Philadelphia in their quarterback situation.
If you're Nick Foles, Dave, and it's you that is the MVP, what do you do? Do you make a case to go somewhere else and get your own team, or do you stay where you are and just reap the benefits of being the backup quarterback?
Well, Nick's still relatively young, Hugh, so he's still got quite a bit of his career left in front of him. So I would think that you try to garner this into going someplace and being your guy. I mean, mm-hmm. He's had success at Philly before. You know, he was a starter before. He was a Pro Bowler. Had that season where he threw 27 touchdowns and just two picks. He took him to the playoffs. They lost in the first round of the playoffs. So he's not a guy that hasn't had success before. So I would think that if we get into the game to play it. You remember, Hugh, you didn't want to sit and watch somebody play. Yeah, it's nice to be a teammate and a backup and be there when you're needed, but you got in the game to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would think that he would want to try to find a place to go play. And may, he's woven his magic. I mean, he's now going to be a legend in Philly history, as you know. You know how those people feel about people that do something like this. So his legacy is cast in Philadelphia. Now go find some place to have your own team.
Dave Archer with John and Hugh. Hey, Dave, so what are the takeaways? Super Bowl 53 obviously is going to be here. What are the takeaways from a Falcons standpoint of watching that game last night that can be applied to possibly having the Falcons make a serious run at playing in their own place?
Well, I just think that the thing that you remember is that you got to get yourself to that postseason dance. You have a chance. Remember, you're one play from beating Philly. They're the team that wins the whole thing. So you got to take advantage of your opportunities. And I think that that's the biggest case. I think Atlanta had a really good season to get themselves in the postseason. They go on the road and win a postseason game. And then you got the number one seed in a position where you're going to knock them off in their building. You don't get it done. They do. They go on and win the championship. That's how close it is to being a champion or one that's crying at the end of the year. 31 teams go home crying, and they don't get a chance to win it. One team does. And how close that margin is. So you have to understand to seize your opportunities. Understand that you're that close to being a championship football team. I think that's really all you take away from it. I think this is a team that's got a ton of confidence. They've got to learn from their mistakes this year, both coaches and players, and they'll be right back in the mix again next year.
Dave, appreciate it. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Dave.
Thanks, guys. Good luck. Congratulations to you. I know it was big, baby.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.